Hello, thank you for joining me. This is Ernestine Lyons, host of Quick to Politic, the podcast, the social commentary show that explores topics ranging from social justice to history, economics, small business, and of course, local and national politics. Thank you for joining me. We are now live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Quick to Politic, the social commentary and political podcast. I'm your host, Ernestine Lyons. I am a councilwoman in the city of Harper Woods. I also work with Build Institute in small business development, and I also work for the Michigan legislature as a community and policy liaison under State Senator Adam Ollier. So I have the privilege and I am just so honored here to have the Honorable Mayor Deidre Waterman of Pontiac. She is mayor of the city of Pontiac. And thank you so much for coming on the show. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Thank you for coming.
It's really a pleasure to be with you, Councilwoman, especially for Women's History Month, as we are in the sisterhood of women in the politics, political field. So thank you for the invite and thank you for welcoming all your members who watch on the podcast. Tell me about what you would like me to say about myself. I can start out by saying that you introduced me as the mayor of Pontiac. This is my second term. This is kind of a second career for me. I never was in the political realm until a few years ago. Before that, I was practicing as an ophthalmologist. That was my career. And I had a practice for some 30 years doing eye surgery. And I had a patient category that some of them would have been with me for 20 years and really enjoyed the profession. But I stepped up to the role of being mayor when some people asked me to run for the city of Pontiac office. Because they thought I had certain skill sets and certain things that Pontiac needed at a time of difficulty. And I brought a new perspective to a vision, as well as the business acumen and the things that experience can teach you that I was able to bring to the office. So that's why I'm here and that's why I've been elected. And I'm at the end of my second term now, actually will be putting my head out in the ring to complete some projects we've done and running for a third term.
Okay, so you are running for re-election. Okay, and I just wanted to let folks know here that, you know, you were the first female elected to that role. Is that correct?
That's correct. I broke that glass ceiling in Pontiac. I was first of the women strong mayors ever to be elected. So that was quite an honor.
Okay, and that was another question that, you know, I didn't send that question over, but I wanted to know, like, what is the structure of the government in Pontiac? Is it, you know, city manager, strong mayor? But, you know, it's definitely great to know that. So what is your, you know, connection to Pontiac? And like, what is it about Pontiac that made you want to, when people ask you that question, like, can you step up and run? We want you to see you because you have that experience, you know, what made you take that on? And, you know, what is so amazing that keeps you wanting to, you know, remain mayor of Pontiac and continue that mission?
Pontiac is a wonderful city. For those of you who don't know, we're here in the center of Oakland County. We're actually the county seat of Oakland County, connected, of course, to Detroit and that whole northern Wayne County, southern all the way to north Oakland County, and that whole transportation hub that connects us through Woodward Avenue from the foot of Woodward Avenue in the Detroit River all the way up to the Woodward Loop and Pontiac. So we are part of that continuum that's representing that those communities that stretch from Detroit through the middle of Oakland County. So I've been in Pontiac for now some 45 years. I came to Pontiac when I married a gentleman by the name of William Waterman, a notable attorney in town who I began knowing when I was in medical school. I went to medical school in the Meharry in Nashville, Tennessee, but had been raised in Detroit. So I came back to Detroit to do my residency and internship after I finished medical school. And I met William Waterman, who was with a law firm of very progressive young attorneys who established the first multi-attorney Black law firm in the city of Pontiac. And they were right in the middle of some very important legal issues, including the desegregation of the Pontiac schools at that time, which made history because it was the first school district in the North that was ruled on needing to have desegregation because of de facto segregation as opposed to de jure, which was in the Southern cities that had Jim Crow laws. And that case was decided by Damon Keith, and who I always respected as a jurist. And whenever I would run into Damon Keith, he would always kid me and he'd said, you know, it was your husband who made me famous. So that was something that he was never notable. And I came to Pontiac right in the middle of all those trying times when he was right in the midst of solving this, was a hero for the NAACP and quite well known in Pontiac. And I was able to come and love the people, love the resilience, get right involved with all of them. The human efforts that were going on here, education, plans to improve our educational system, was able to grow my practice and was able to get right involved with everything that was happening in Pontiac. So we were so much committed to improving the community around us, whether through the schools or through the other nonprofit agencies that we supported, that we just became a Pontiac family here. I had two children, a son and a daughter, Shauna and Tucson, who are now doing very well. They're both out in California, but they grew up through Pontiac. And we just established a home here, a love for the community, and continue to stay here to be part of the landscape for progress in this community.
That is really awesome. And, you know, to have that sort of groundbreaking, being that progressive, you know, attorney, and then becoming that family, that force for good, and to, you know, have that as, you know, something that, you know, was an example for you. I think that a lot of times power couples inform each other and, you know, they shape each other. So that's just really amazing to hear that was your start and that was your introduction to, you know, political life. And so that sort of acts, you know, it points me into the next question, which is, what is your proudest accomplishment and some of your hopes and dreams for the community in Pontiac and the city government as a whole?
My hope and dream for Pontiac is to complete that narrative and that greatness that is inherent in the city. As I said, this is a resilient city and has gone through some changes in narrative over time. I lived here through a number of times in which we had progress and good results. I've also lived in some times when the city had troubles and was in turmoil. So once you commit yourself to a city, you're actually committing yourself to the people because you believe that there is a spirit of community here that you enjoy. It was a great place to raise my family, a great place to have a practice, a great place to support my husband in terms of his law practice, a community that received us and honored us in so many ways in the way we were related to so many of the happenings here in the city. For example, when my husband died, and it's hard to believe it's been almost 18 years since he passed, but he was so beloved and admired by the community for what he had done and what he stood for, that they renamed our local courthouse, the 50th District Court, and it was renamed by the city council on the petition of the people. So many people wanted this to have happen, that it's now called the Honorable William J. Waterman Hall of Justice. So this is such a tribute and to my husband and to the things that we as a couple, as a family stood for, and that we wrapped our arms around the Pontiac community as they wrapped their arms around us. And so I never had any aspirations of ever running for political office. I knew they tried to get my husband to run for mayor a number of times at troubled times for the city, but he always had such a love for the law that he wanted to stay as a judge. And I, of course, love my profession. I love doing eye surgery, and I loved the fact that I was able to be of service and provide that skill set to my patients, as I said, many of whom I became quite endeared to, and they became endeared to the practice and were stayed loyal through all the time I was practicing. But at some point, there was a time when I made a decision that if I could offer something in service to the community, people believed I could do that, bringing a fresh perspective, then I would do that. And so I did sacrifice to do that, gave up some income, have to make sure that I can weather all the politics that goes into a position like this, because politics can be a rough and tumble sport, as you know.
Oh, for sure.
But the proudest things, as you know, but the proudest things is that we're able to make progress, that I was able to bring the city together at times when we were very troubled financially. When they'd had an emergency manager for about 10 years when I came in, and the people needed some way to restore hope, restore a plan, and to restore a vision. So one of the things I was good about was getting people together and restoring some sense of consensus and getting people around a vision and getting the people to realize that one of the things we need to do in order to heal the city was to heal ourselves. You know, we could not overcome the challenges if we had lack of confidence or if we were accepted the narrative about finding, For example, I was perturbed, as well were many of the people in the community who were leaders and who supported my run for office, who didn't appreciate the fact that Pontiac was considered a second weaker cousin to the county, although we were the county seat. And they pictured Oakland County, one of the most prosperous counties in the country.
All of Michigan. All right. I was a little worried at first. Of the first cough, I'm like, oh, okay. Well, because I always get like dry throat when I'm talking, and you know, I'm just like, okay. But now I was like, I'm worried.
Yeah, I just didn't want to. Like, once you get that little tickle, it's not going to go away. So I just said, if we can, sometimes you just got to work through it. But I'm here.
All right. So you talked about, you know, I love this quote of, you know, committing yourself to the people. And, you know, one of my fellow council person colleagues, you know, likes to say that she is a people-tician, not a politician. And I think that it's really important when you talk about like a legacy, you know, and coming in after such a turbulent time with the emergency manager, to have that vision and to be able to heal yourselves and move forward. So that kind of brings me to the next question around, you know, what are some of your visions for, you know, you're running for reelection? What do you want to continue? What are those legacy projects that when people look back on your term, they'll say she created, she, you know, made us have, or she made us want to be X, Y, and Z. So what is your platform for, you know, the 2021 campaign?
I look back on my campaign literature from 4 years ago, even 8 years ago, the first election, to see the things that I thought were imperative and that were my pivotal points for the people. And I like the phrase that your colleague said about being a people-tician. I didn't think of that. That's kind of very clever.
Shout out to Regina Washington, if you're watching.
Hi there, Regina Washington. But I've always said that we are in a service industry in politics, and the people who go about it for the right reason and the right way always keep that in mind, that we work in the best interests of the citizens that we serve. And we work because we want to make our communities better and because people put their faith and trust in us to be able to move that forward. So if that is the character and the sense of purpose by which you enter, that's always the guiding force and lead you in making decisions, because there will be a lot of decisions that are sometimes very difficult to make because there's good reasons on one side, good reasons on the other. There are people that it helps, people that it hurts, people that they don't understand. And so that's what being a leader is, even having that sense of character and that sense of purpose, that you're able to make those decisions and then build consensus around that and get people to follow that. So that's to talk about the proudest moments. One of the proudest things is to get people not only to believe in themselves again. You know, I kind of resented the fact when people said that the heydays of the city of Pontiac, and I said, no, our heydays are not behind us. We just need to regroup. We can't look forward and back at the same time. Can't look through your rearview mirror and your front visor at the same time. But we would be able to get a consensus plan, a consensus vision, and then move forward on that. Learn from the past, but not let it haunt us. So that's what we were able to do. And that's the sense that you have. And with that, I had a particular mission to accomplish those five goals, because that seemed to be the things that plagued the people most. I remember one of them was that during the emergency manager, he had terminated all of the community centers. So we had four community centers that were for our youth, and those were all closed down. So I promised the population that, you know, the investment in our youth is one of the most important investments that a community can make. And so I would promise that I would restore that a community center for our youth. And so we've done that, and we've done that very wonderfully. We found a wonderful facility, have offered programs now for our youth that are both recreational, so they can enjoy themselves, but also enrichment activities. And we've gotten a lot of partners who have brought in funding for us to be able to do that. So that was a great joy to be able to do that. We've also been able to do a number of things that I promised the public in terms of taking care of our seniors, you know, very cherished members of our population, which is a rapidly growing sector of our population. And so we have provided two wonderful community centers and continue to provide other kinds of, I think, visionary ideas that help to improve the quality of our life for our seniors and help them to age in place as long as they can. So that was another thing that I set forward to do for the population. But one of the more important things and immediate needs at the time was to restore the city to financial stability. We were a city which was sinking like the Titanic. We're flat broke and hemorrhaging money. So first way we had to restore the faith of businesses to come into our community. We've been able to attract now a whole business community and have diversified our economy. We're not dependent. We're very proud of our car history, but we're not dependent upon the car manufacturing. We're certainly post-manufacturing, post-industrial. So we were able to heal our economy, really grow and thrive. And we have done that. So now we are able to, through our prudent financial planning, able to have a strong financial footing again. And I've been proud of the fact that the last two or three years, we have had surplus budgets that enable us to have some choices and options that we didn't have some years ago. I was able to settle some of the litigation matters that had been left over from the emergency manager. One of those has been a long time coming. We announced just this week that there was a major facility in the center of our town called the Phoenix Center. We were able to restore that, not to lose that like we lost the Silver Dome. We were able to find equity partners to come in to make that quite a mammoth project now, which will be quite a catalyst for economic development. And also the hinge for some other, many other businesses, as I said, that are coming to town, providing jobs. And that was also one of the things that needed to be done to stabilize the community. I wanted to empower our neighborhoods by getting rid of the blight that had festered so many neighborhoods and pockmarked the city for years and years and years. And I thought with council's help and using a lot of federal block grant funds that we were able to commit ourselves to ridding ourselves once and for all these blighted structures. And now it's proved the worth of that, because where we were a crime-ridden city 10 years ago, we have now reduced our violent crime levels more than 40%. And that's pretty huge. That brings us into harmony with all the other cities in Oakland County. So that was huge to be able to do. Also, very much been in support of our school district. Education is so important and key. We have a lot for training now to retrain people for jobs or to retrain them for jobs that are higher paying and have more future in them. So we've gotten a lot of programs and a lot of partners who helped us supply funding so we could do that as well. So those are some of the goals I set. And one of the proudest things is we've been able to achieve some of those goals. We still have more to go, more to achieve, but we have made great progress. And we made great progress by the fact that we've been able to bring in the inclusiveness of so many people, stakeholders, supporters. Now the foundation industry has come to town where we didn't have that support before. We've been able to attract that. So these are all things that were on the campaign literature. And as I said, it's not what you say, it's what you do. And so that is a sense of accomplishment that we can report. And that's the messaging that we take out to the citizens on their behalf.
That is amazing. And that is quite a lot of accomplishments for such a short period of time. And, you know, I'm actually really glad to hear that you do have a great vision for moving Pontiac forward and that, you know, you do have plans to, and that's quite a lot. You talked about, you know, just businesses, financial stability, and, you know, tying up some of those things that, you know, under emergency management were still, you know, loose ends, and, you know, even education and things for the community. Because, you know, I actually have had a lot of interactions with the city of Pontiac through work that I do. We had a lot of economic development work with the Pontiac Community Foundation. And I know they're T. Ramsey and Associates. They're doing a lot of really great entrepreneurial work. You know, I think that that's something that Pontiac, you know, I think that in a long time ago, it definitely had this sort of stigma, but I think that, you know, cities like Pontiac and like Detroit are on the rise. And, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, you do have a vision and that this is what you're running on. And, you know, it's not just because I'm mayor, but because we have to continue this work, you know? So, yeah. And just out of curiosity, because here in the city of Harper Woods, we have, you know, Eastland Mall, which is, you know, it's had better days. It's still open. But, you know, when you talk about the Silver Dome, I just feel like it's kind of fascinating that it was this amazing structure. And, you know, so I just kind of wanted to know, how did you guys kind of put together a plan for repurposing it? And what are those plans for the Silver Dome? Because I think I want to learn what we can do as a city here with Eastland as you're looking at repurposing a massive, you know, site of land.
Well, Pontiac did have a great history of repurposing property in the city of Pontiac. In fact, when I became mayor, we had the largest inventory of no longer used General Motors plants anywhere in the world. So we set about working with Razor Trust to find ways to repurpose those properties. Through establishing brownfields, through offering novel solutions to courting particular kinds of businesses to come in that could repurpose that land. And I'm happy to say that we have repurposed very successfully all but one small parking lot. All the rest of that is now in the form of some very novel usages, such as M1 Concourse, the car garage where we, Motobella is coming this fall, was once a General Motors plant. We had United Shore, which is now the largest wholesale mortgage company in the country, moved here from Troy to occupy a former General Motors plant, beautiful piece of property, and has expanded tremendously while they've been here. So as far as the Silver Dome, I must, if you hope I'm not disillusioning you by telling you, the Silver Dome is no more. It's a grand old lady. It survived its time. After the Lions and the Pistons had left, that it sat pretty much unused for a period of time. It passed to private ownership for a while. But it was kind of in tattered and tears, and we got the private owner finally to demolish it. We had what was called the final tailgate party, and we demolished it, and it was kind of a remarkable, memorable event. We thought we were going to remember it because that was the last time we would see the Silver Dome as it happened. And this was something that the demolition company regretted as it was published all over the world. But the first time they tried to demolish, the first day, it didn't go down. There was just smoke and nothing else happened. So the next day, I think they tripled the dynamite. It finally went down. So I just made the joke that the Silver Dome was a grand old lady, and it was kind of resilient and indestructible, just like the citizens of Pontiac. But the second time it went down, and that property, that 127 acres of prime property, is now the home to Amazon. We have a building as we speak, both a distribution center and a fulfillment center that have been in construction now for the past year and a half. The distribution center, and they're now delivering packages with all the Amazon vans there all over the county. And the fulfillment center will be delivering packages by the end of July. So this is huge, huge in terms of being chosen as one of the sites to have an Amazon property, not one, but two. And this is the first time Amazon has ever built facilities of that size on one piece of property. Right. So they love this property. We were able to lure them to Pontiac, and we're proud of the fact because when Amazon comes and some of the other businesses, that's kind of like the good housekeeping seal of approval to the rest of the country, the rest of the world, that Pontiac is a good place to do business. So that's the history of that. And the Silver Dome is no more.
Mm-hmm. And I did hear about like the roof collapsed in, and then there was an implosion, and then it didn't work, and then they had to go back with more dynamite. So you hear about this because, you know, I remember just like the Pontiac Silver Dome commercials, and, you know, just about like how the sports were there. And, you know, you always wonder like, okay, well, what's next? And, you know, now it's great to hear that there's, you know, jobs that are there through Amazon, and you know, that's amazing. And hopefully, you know, Harper Woods, we can find that same sort of vision for, you know, the next phases of, you know, whatever happens with, you know, Eastland. And so, thank you so much for answering, you know, all of my questions and letting me pick your brain and telling, it was wonderful to hear your story and to hear you tell it and, you know, your future and the mission and the, you know, vision that you see for, you know, moving Pontiac forward. I do want to, you know, end with one final question on just Oakland County and, you know, Pontiac and the vision, because when you think of Oakland County, you think of prosperity. I mean, Pontiac and, you know, the cities that are all a part of Oakland County, they are definitely, you guys are the outliers for the entire state. You know, Oakland County is the wealthiest county in all of Michigan. And, yes, you know, so what is the relationship with Pontiac and Oakland County? Because, you know, you do see that there are some disparities there. And we do know that there are things like the social determinants of health and, you know, income disparities that come into play. And so, you know, how do you guys mitigate some of these things that may be, you know, racial and socioeconomic, you know, with the whole county overall being prosperous and, you know, wanting to continue to have Pontiac lifted to those same heights?
And I think that there has been a changing over the years, our relationship with Oakland County government. In the past, there was kind of a fractious, contentious relationship. As I came in, it was important for us to be part of the larger community. I thought Pontiac should not be an outlier. At one time, the anonym for Pontiac was the hole in the donut, with the donut being the prosperous Oakland County around this city of Pontiac. I rejected that notion. Pontiac is a thriving, resilient, historic city that could build upon its assets. And so that's what we've done, because I resented the fact that we were considered a hole in anybody's donut. There were some problems that we had to resolve. We had to resolve the fact that we could not be a crime-laden city. And so that was why it was important to restore that sense of safety and security. So we have done that a lot. Brought in the Oakland County Sheriff, and they've worked assiduously to work with the community to make sure that we have justice, which was also a main determinant for mine, equitable justice, rational policing. So that's what we've established in Pontiac that has helped to change that narrative. But we want to be a destination city that has its niche, and we want to build community wealth. And that's one of the things that the visions and the strategies we have employed, we have done that, because the wealth of a community is the wealth of its citizens. And so whether that's restoring and helping to improve and enhance our education system, offering more opportunity for jobs and training, supporting businesses that brought in jobs, training, supported the community, or to just make sure that we had a diverse culture that was stronger, that respected the humanness of everyone and built upon that and made this community stronger. Mm-hmm. So those are the things I think that are part of the community wealth building, the underlying for that. And as we continue to offer other educational opportunities, I'm proud of the partnerships we've had with the institutions of higher learning, as well as the vocational institutions, as well as with the unions, who are helping to build and to retrain our populations who are looking for other career options. So those are all things in stabilizing the community. And I think that narrative that we once had about Pontiac is no longer in people's minds now, mm-hmm. Because every other day we're bringing in good news about how this community is progressing. And so I'm very happy that the citizens of Pontiac has put the trust in me to be the consensus builder and bringing people together. And I'm proud of all the many people, stakeholders, who have answered the call in whatever way to offer their services or their skills or their hours to the city of Pontiac, whether it's serving on a board or a commission or a task force or bringing together or, you know, helping to clean up our parks. We've restored that sense of a community that makes us strong, that makes us strong and makes us resilient.
I love that. I love that. And especially the aspect of building community wealth. I'm not sure if you were a part of the Michigan Municipal League's capacity conference this past week. That was the overarching, you know, theme that we kept hearing, yes. You know, building community wealth. And I think that, you know, a community that has hope, as you mentioned, you know, at the top of the hour, it's like, you know, helping people kind of believe in themselves again and believe in the city, you know, is a wealthy community and is a wealthy city. So I think making sure that people know they have agency, that they can be a part of that change, is really important too. So it has definitely been a pleasure speaking with you. And, you know, let folks know if you want to know where people can reach you, or, you know, any way that they can contact you or ask questions, or, you know, city council meetings or any new information you want to share, please do let us know where we can find out all that information.
Well, you know how to reach me, and certainly I'm not hard to find because I am in the community. Part of it always putting my hand out to see where we can be of service, or also just being informed about what is the needs and what are the wishes and what are the input of our citizens. My email is dwaterman@pontiac.mi.us. If anybody has questions about the things that we brought up, we certainly invite you to some of the destination events that will be coming to the city this year, both Motorbella, the replacement for the International North American Auto Show, as well as American Speedway in the fall, and plus the summer events. We have social districting. We have a real downtown. I'm gonna bring some events and an art crawl here. So those are the things that I think people will recognize us for. But I do wanna give encouragement to you. I thank you so much for the spirit that you bring to your position in office. When people are of integrity and purpose and service, serve the community, that just increases the public's confidence in all of us who are elected to serve. So thank you for that. And I'm glad you bring up the MML. That is a particular fondness of mine too. In fact, I'm the vice president of the MML this year, Michigan Municipal League. So that is quite a theme, that community wealth building, that has many, many parameters that we're gonna be developing and hope to share with communities that are part of that consortium. So it's been wonderful to be with you. The great audience out there, I'm very inspired. Wish you well. Let me know if I can help you. All right.
And of course, I was muted. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for the humbling comments. I really appreciate those. And, I just want to say that, leading during a pandemic hasn't been hard or hasn't been easy. It's definitely had its challenges. And, I love being able to, connect with leaders like yourself to, talk about how we've been navigating it. And thank you so much for being a part of tonight's show. And thank you for all of you who are listening out there or watching. And this has been Quick to Politic. And thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you for having me on. Good night, everybody.
All right, the live is ended and the recording is. Thank you for watching on YouTube.